Thank you for attending. My topic really doesn't have anything to do with weed science. It's with fungicide and insecticide applications, and I guess this was a good fit for it. But for a few moments this morning, I want to discuss the effects of foliar fungicides and insecticides, planting date and seeding rate on soybean yield and yield components. Before we get into that, just give you a brief overview of soybean production in Tennessee. We're about 95% glyphosate tolerant. Unlike most of the Mid-South, we're about 99% non-irrigated. So we got hit pretty hard this year with the drought, and you'll see that in the data. The latest figures I could get on no-till were about 68% no-till. And double crop, 25%, but that fluctuates. Expect to see more double crop soybean production next year. In 2006, we had 445,000 hectares of soybeans harvested with an average yield of 2,600 kilograms per hectare. However, our projected yield in 2007 due to the drought is 1,550 kilograms per hectare. And so far with what we have harvested and what I'm hearing from producers around our area, that's going to be pretty close, maybe less. University of Tennessee Extension does a really good job keeping up with the production practices of growers and the crops we grow around there. Just going to show 4 years of survey results as far as fungicide and insecticide applications in soybeans. In 2003, 18% of the producers applied a fungicide either with or without insecticide. In 2004, it went up to 25%. 2005, it jumped to 65%. And then 2006 to 72%. And I want to focus on those last 2 years. Of that percentage, in 2005, 26% was fungicide only, and 39 was fungicide plus insecticide. And then that next year, an increasing number of producers applied fungicide and insecticide, and less applied just to fungicide only. And a lot of times this wasn't based on scouting, it was just convenient. They were making the application and they just went ahead and put the insecticide in there. They did this because of perceived cost savings for crop protection, but the problem is that a lot of times the insect complex and the numbers were unknown, and also when you don't know what insects you have, you don't really know if you picked the appropriate chemistry or if your application timing was optimized. Well, in 2006, we just did a preliminary study, and I presented a little bit of this data last year, but I just wanted to go back over it. At the time we were looking at management levels, we had some questions about if you had a reduced stand, should you just cut your losses and harvest the crop, or should you go ahead and try to make a fungicide, insecticide application and try to maximize that yield. So we planted a late 4 and a mid 5 maturity group on June 6th at the seeding rates you see there. We planted them in rows that were 24 meters long on 38 centimeter row spacing. And in this picture you can see the effect of the fungicide. We had headline and acephate 90, just a tank mix. We didn't do headline alone. We kind of went along with that grower practice last year. And you can see visually the strips that look cleaner are the ones that receive the headline acephate, and the strips that look gray, they're your non-treated. And then these are actual plot yields for that second row. And you can see that in those cleaner plots, in every instance, regardless of seeding rate, the yield went up. And then just to present it as a table, as far as maturity groups, there wasn't a yield difference. Seeding rates, no difference at all. But the treatment, there was a treatment effect, and to just look at this a little bit closer, we did yield components, and you have final population on your left, and I'm just going to emphasize for the lower final stands, the plant's compensated by producing more branch pods, and that's been documented. And that's how we had similar yields, and as far as the yield differences between the non-treated in the headline versus Acephate 90, we just had heavier seed, fuller seed. So this year, we want to evaluate the effects of soybean population, planting date, fungicide, with and without insecticide on soybean, and compare insecticide applications based on convenience versus actual threshold levels. Well, all year the drought insect complex it never got to threshold. So all we have is a fungicide and then a fungicide insecticide tank mix. So we don't have a threshold. This test was conducted in Jackson, Tennessee, no-till, non-irrigated. We planted Ashgrow 4903 on April 20th and June 11th at those seeding rates, 198, 296, 385,000 seed per hectare. Treatments, non-treated, headline at R4, headline plus Mustang Max at R4, and then our other treatment just got headline because we never got to threshold level. The insect complex that we did see when we were scouting was bean leaf beetle, Dectys stem borer, grape colaspis, grasshopper, green clover worm, green stink bug, three-cornered alfalfa hopper. Just looking at the yield data, the only effect we had was planting date, April 20th and June 11th. We had higher yields in June. Normally, we're going to carry this out for two more years. I wouldn't expect that to hold. Based on some other experiments that we've done the last 3 years, I would expect that April 20th to show out better than that, but the way the drought hit, those soybeans didn't have any water when it got to the time to around full pod beginning seed, and the ones planted on June 11th, they hung on and they did get some late season rain. I think that's why we see that yield increase. No difference in seeding rates, and then no difference in treatments. So this year, because of the drought, just wasn't really the year for a fungicide application either. And if you saw these soybeans when we were harvesting, they were shriveled, molded, they were terrible. Something that we did get hammered by this year was grape colaspis. We've never had that trouble before. The previous 2 years, we've never shown an effect from insecticide seed treatment. So this year, we did a fungicide seed treatment, not an insecticide. So the grape colaspis, it pretty much dictated our stand. So I went back and tried to break out this by final population. And I had to do it by ranges in order to get all the treatments in there. And this is analyzed by planting date. So in the first column, April 20th, our final population was less than 130,000, then 130 to 210,000 plants per hectare, then 210 to 290, which that last 210 to 290, that's where we need to be. So you would expect, even though it wasn't significant, it was because the data was so variable, that's where we need to be. So that's no surprise there. And then June 11th, we did have better stands. It wasn't expected as much, but that 290,000 plants per hectare, that's a little bit over 100,000 plants per hectare, and that's where the previous studies have shown that we need to be at harvest. And then again, no differences. Just wanted to see if breaking it down by final population, if there was a treatment effect, but there still wasn't this year. So in summary, it's an atypical season. The drought really affected our results. I believe if we would have had sufficient rainfall, you would have seen, based on previous tests, we would have seen that yield effect from the headline particularly. In 2007, just to summarize what we found, early June had higher yields. Our final stands above 290,000 plants per hectare produced the highest yields, and that's really, really no surprise. And then this year there wasn't a benefit from headline or headline plus Mustang Max. And we, again, we will repeat this in 2008 and 2009. It was funded in part by the Tennessee Soybean Promotion Board, and I want to acknowledge their support. And also, I want to acknowledge my crew. That's Chris Street, Neil Down working on the planter, Jacob Malone, Valerie Young, and I couldn't do anything without them. And occasions like this, they don't happen very often, but when they do, I've got a good crew, and it just slows us down for a little while. And I'm really proud of them. But that's all I have. I'd be happy to entertain any questions if there's time.
There is time for a couple of questions. And then I'm going to encourage us, if the officer also here, we've got a break here to take a couple of minutes if there are some questions that we didn't have time for. Please.
Yes.
These blanket applications of pesticides or insecticides, is there concern on resistance issues? Because it's not just
From a grower's perspective, there's not. I think it does bother the, and I'm not an entomologist, but I've talked to some, and I think it does concern them. But I don't know that I'm not aware of any resistance yet, and I think it's going to be like glyphosate. I think until it happens, people are going to start doing it. I talked to an area specialist, and the grower's feeling is if they can spend, you know, $2 or $3 along with that headline application while they're out there anyway, then they're willing to do it. And then if they have to come back later in the year after sweep. So, I don't think, outside the research community, I don't think there's any concern for resistance. Yes?
But first, any further questions for Eric? Let's give him a hand then.
Thank you.